batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions, like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. And right now, buy any Duralast Gold or Platinum battery and receive a $25 Fandango gift card by mail. Limit one. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. Greeny, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. Kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Our unlimited plan with 10 gigabytes at high speed, then 2G, is just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions. Like running late for work, a broken alarm, creepy parking spots. Duralast, proven tough and only at AutoZone. And right now, buy any Duralast Gold or Platinum battery and receive a $25 Fandango gift card by mail. Limit one. Get in the zone.
5:05, welcome back in the Todd Brolenkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Producer Kyle Mann hurrying to ready the Kirk Ferentz audio today from Iowa City, the riveting media session that it was. Last one of the regular season. Hard to believe, but after Friday, it will all be over, with the exception of whatever bowl game the Hawkeyes are going to. And remember, there's no such thing as a bad bowl game, although, as one of the texters on the Hertin and Stocker text line points out, if Iowa goes to a bowl game in a cold weather climate, that is a loss for everyone. I would agree. It's a good point, a good time to remind everybody that the Pinstripe Bowl is played at Yankee Stadium in New York City, outdoors, December, and the press box, which I know no one else cares about, is open air.
There's no chance they could go to Boise in the whatever bowl that's called anymore.
Thank God, no.
Is there?
I believe that's still the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
It used to be the Humanitarian Bowl, but now it's, yeah.
That is what it's called right now. Let's talk about something in slightly better shape than the Iowa football. No, we're going to talk about the Bears here. Never mind. Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago is joining us. Chris, John Fox, how's that going?
Well, it's still going. Six more weeks of the season, and then we will find out his fate.
We already kind of know, though, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's kind of there. I mean, you've seen 2+ years of this guy, almost 12-30 overall is his record with the Bears. And really the most disappointing thing from the perspective of House Hall is you haven't seen any kind of organizational growth. And it didn't even have to translate into wins and losses this season, but you want to see the kind of positive that as an organization, as a football team, you're getting better. And that could have been anywhere from, I don't know, it could have been 4 wins, it could have been 6 wins, it could have been 8 wins, something like that. But you're really not seeing the kind of collective play than the improvements that you want to see from the entire team. So that's where the decision's really going to be made on John Fox, and it certainly looks right now like he's going to be gone at the end of this year.
Chris, I know that coordinators tend to be lightning rods, but is there a less popular sports figure in Chicago right now than Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator of the Bears?
I'm sure I could probably think of a few, but he's certainly on the bottom tier of that list. Here's the thing with Loggins. I mean, is he a great play caller? No, I think he's probably in that bottom end of NFL play callers, but I also wonder how well he could do with an actual offense, an offense with playmakers around the young quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. And you've seen the strides being made, and that opening drive on Sunday in particular, that's what they want to run. I mean, kind of a fast-paced, up-tempo offense, moving Cohen around, having Howard be that bulldozer in the backfield, and all these guys working around Mitchell Trubisky's mobility. That's more of what Dow Loggins wants to do. So I think it's kind of an incomplete evaluation of Dow Loggins, but I also do believe that they're going to be looking for that different direction with a new head coach. I don't think they're going to be, whoever the new head coach would be, is going to be retaining Dow Loggins as well as he's done getting through to Mitchell Trubisky, and they got a good working relationship together. They're probably going to look for somebody of that veteran mindset that can get through to him in a better sense, somebody that can work better with Trubisky.
You brought up Tariq Cohen, and he's been a big topic of discussion the past couple weeks. He did get 13 touches on Sunday, but I'm talking more overarching usage of him. There's been kind of three trains of thought. There are the fans that want to see him get more touches. There was John Fox saying that, well, he can't get more touches because defenses are game planning against him. And then there were the players who are kind of in the middle saying, yes, defenses are game planning for him, but we need to get him the ball more. Where did you fall on that argument?
You know, it was kind of a, quite frankly, an embarrassing week for John Fox and Dow Loggins last week when they were trying to explain why Cohen wasn't on the field, why he was out there for 13 snaps in that game against the Packers, a season-changing game for the Bears, a season-defining game that they lost. It was a bad look for the guys who are running this football team who couldn't really explain properly why Cohen wasn't out there more. And it almost looked like Loggins was bullied into putting Cohen out there last Sunday against the Lions, where you saw him take on that heavy load after spending the entire week defending himself, or at least trying to the best of his ability. I still can't figure it out. I don't know why he wasn't out there enough in that game against the Packers, but Sunday against the Lions is more of an indication of what you want from this guy. Spread him out in different parts of the offense, mix it up, or before every play, that defense and the Mike linebacker is looking and saying, there's Cohen. Pointing to to his teammates, saying, "There's the guy we got to watch out for." That's where you get those double teams of the defense rolling over. If he's in the slot or if he's coming out of the backfield to the flats, the entire defense is moving in the direction of number 29, and in turn creating mismatches for somebody like a Kendall Wright, Daniel Brown, Dontrell Inman, whoever it may be, the kind of receiver targets that the Bears have that are not going to be drawn those double teams. You're getting somebody open because of Tariq Cohen. And the Bears cannot explain why they didn't have him out there before last Sunday's game against the Lions. So, I don't know. It was an odd week for the Bears. It was an odd explanation. I think you're going to see Cohen be more of a part of this offense moving forward. But then there's also the aspect of that late-game drive with the Bears trying to tie the game before the Barkley's field goal. Cohen wasn't even on the field. And I followed up with John Fox on that yesterday at Hallis Hall, and he's really sick of answering the question, as he kind of pointed out, but really they just don't believe that Cohen has what it takes to run the right routes, to be in the right position for the no huddle. And that's a problem for a rookie who's now 11 weeks into his NFL career, 11 regular season weeks into his NFL career. He should be ready to handle that kind of workload.
Chris Emmo from 670 The Score in Chicago joining us for a few minutes here on a Tuesday edition of the program. You mentioned Dontrell Inman. What do you think the Bears can do with him over the last couple weeks of the season? How does he fit into the offense?
He's kind of become that go-to target for Trubisky already because Mitch sees that this is a guy who can get open, and he hasn't had that from somebody like Marcus Whedon or consistently from Kendall Wright, certainly not from somebody like Josh Bellamy, who's more of a special teams player. Inman's a guy who has shown the ability to adapt in the offense well, and he did so after 2 weeks, that game against the Saints, he'd set out in the bye week, and he came back after that ready to be an integral part of this offense. So give the guy credit for his knowledge and ability to adapt. You're seeing a guy who can fit in right away and be that kind of, impact player for an offense that doesn't really have anybody of that ilk and receiver. I don't know how he compares with some of the other receivers in this league. He had a pretty good year last year as a top receiver for the Chargers. I think he was their second leading receiver before they went out and drafted Mike Williams. So maybe he can be a quality, I don't know, one or two receiver, you know, one receiver for a team that doesn't have a, you know, an elite receiver there. But at the very least, you're going to see what this guy is made of as he's a number one target the rest of the year for Trubisky.
All right, I want to address the elephant in the room here for just a second. First of all, how would you assess Mitchell Trubisky's first six starts as a Bear? And is there a concern in Chicago right now that the coaches in place right now may be hindering his development just a little bit, at least from the fans?
Yeah, I guess the first part, I think Trubisky's done about as well as he can, given the circumstances. And you look at that game against Carolina, we went 4 of 7 for 104 yards. That was kind of the indictment to the rest of the offense, where you have a guy with a big arm being so protective of the football and handing the ball off so much. They've expanded it from there. You know, somebody like Inman's made a difference. Getting Shaheen acclimated's made a difference. You're seeing a little bit more of what Trubisky can be. That's a pretty darn good quarterback. I mean, he's got terrific mobility, as we saw in that scramble on Sunday, but he's still 2 interceptions so far. I think 150, give or take, passes. He's got a 1.4 interception rate. He's been very good at protecting the football, making the right decisions. He's got a heck of a strong arm and an accurate one as well. All the tools you want to see from a young quarterback, somebody you drafted number 2 overall, it's all there for you. They just need to support this guy with the right personnel on the field, but also the right coaching staff as you're getting to. The fear in Chicago, and I'm sure the fear for Ryan Pace, the man who put his career tied to Mitchell Trubisky, is that his coaching staff won't be able to do the right work with him. That's the greatest fear around Hallis Hall, because you got a second-year quarterbacks coach in Dave Ragone. You got a second-year offensive coordinator with this team in Dal Loggins. It's not exactly the most respected and renowned coaching staff to work with a young quarterback prospect whose development is so important, a guy who started one season at the college level. So that's probably where the coaching change comes. We know when John Foss, if and probably when he's done at the end of this year, you go find that offensive mind who can work well with Mitchell Trubisky. The beauty from the Bears' side is that there's going to be great appeal to that head coaching job because of the fact that Trubisky's there. So they can probably attract somebody like a Josh McDaniels or a Frank Reich, say, come on in, be our head coach, and work with this young quarterback, mold him into something great. That appeal's going to be there. But right now you got 6 more weeks of this left, and you're hoping that everything goes accordingly.
Chris, let's assume that there is a change at the head coaching position after the season is over. What direction do you think the McCaskey family goes in?
I think it's just that it's Ryan Pace's call, because Ryan Pace is the one they have a ton of faith in, and we just saw that. We just saw that warranted a few days ago with the Bears committing to build a major expansion to Hallis Hall, an entire football operations department, really in the mold of what Ryan Pace wanted, with all kinds of different facilities and things to take care of his football team. This is something that Ryan Pace really wanted, and it's a commitment to Ryan Pace as the general manager moving forward. So Pace is going to have his pick, and it's going to be entirely his pick of the head coach. You know, he'll have different people in his ear, and he'll have different voices in the room. But this is going to be Ryan Pace's pick, whereas when he came into this position, he was the youngest general manager in football and kind of tied to the head coach who became available in John Fox. So you're going to see Pace probably go out and get that offensive-minded head coach, whoever that next up-and-coming prodigy is in this coaching business. And I think Josh McDaniels is probably going to lead that list. You know, he bombed out in Denver a few years ago, but he was not at all ready for that job. And he's adjusted himself. He's adjusted his personality a bit to a head coaching role. And he's learned from the absolute best in the business, Bill Belichick. And you got to forget the knock on Belichick assistants and that tree, that coaching tree that's come from him, of guys like Charlie Rice, Romeo Crennel, the list of guys that have failed in the NFL or as head coaches. Josh McDaniels is a really smart guy, and he's somebody that can work very well with a quarterback like Mitch Trubisky. So that's probably where the phone calls start. Maybe they'll try to get exotic and call somebody like a Jim Harbaugh. I think they're more likely to stick for that offensive-minded coach in the NFL.
Chris, I feel like every time, every time we're on, we're talking about Leonard Floyd. And the initial report that came out after Sunday's game was that He suffered a major knee injury. The subsequent reports say that it wasn't an ACL injury, but with all the injuries that he's already had in his first couple years in the league, how big of a concern is Leonard Floyd, the ninth overall pick in 2016, is his future in the NFL?
Yeah, I think when you saw that injury, it looked a lot worse. It was gruesome. It was awful. He was carted off. Certainly the ACL was the biggest fear, so the fact that the ACL has been ruled out is great news for the Bears. But you're right, you got to worry about, you know, for a tremendous athlete off that edge, if this kind of thing is going to hamper with him. If this is something where, you know, after whatever procedures needed is conducted and he goes through this rehab, maybe he loses a step or has to go through some kind of adjustment to get back to full speed. Now, this is talking about an entirely different issue with his right knee. He's got the history of head injuries now, too, after two concussions, one of which was very serious at the end of last year. I mean, he said he was really struggling with that for several months after the season. So, yeah, I mean, there's some, you know, short-term health issues with the knee, but there's also long-term issues with the head. Not to mention his durability was tested early on in his rookie year. So, yeah, those are some things you really got to keep in mind. It's a young player, Leonard Floyd, a first-round pick and a tremendous young talent. We've seen the abilities there. We've seen him flash what he can be. The Bears would love to see him put it all together, and unfortunately it's not going to happen again until at least 2018.
Hey, Chris, before we let you go, I want to ask you, how are the Bulls being received in the Chicago media? It's another tough season for Fred Hoiberg. I think everybody kind of expected this, but just dismal so far.
Yeah, this is kind of what was expected. I mean, they're going to be one of the worst, if not the worst, teams in the league. It's a different situation now for Hoiberg, who last year and the year before was quite frankly pushed around by a veteran cast of egos and guys that really didn't belong in that situation around a star player like Jimmy Butler. So they made the move. They gone with the young players. You know, the pleasant surprise of Lauri Markkanen, how good he's been this early, has been something that's kind of taken on a storyline of its own, but this is a team that's really been playing badly, and not just the level of bad that you expect from a young team rebuilding, but really sloppy and often stupid basketball from this team. And that's what's disappointing. And that does fall on Hoiberg. You see them really struggling with ball movement, making poor decisions when they get into the half-court sets. Hoiberg's offense can do a lot just to kind of institutionalize what they're doing, but there's really been a lot of sloppy and bad basketball. You want to see them take those strides in the right direction with young players stepping into key roles, but they got a lot of work to do. Now, Markkanen, as I said, has been a pleasant surprise at how good he's been. You'll like to see him keep this consistency there, but it's really a good start to his young NBA career. Chris Dunn has flashed really well the last two games, and he's really shown that he can be an elite defender in that point guard position. Why Jaren Grant is still the starting point guard for the team, I have no idea, but that's something where you could see a transition soon. And then Zach LaVine comes back. You like to see him become the player, you know, that Gar Foreman and John Paxson envisioned when they made that move for Jimmy Butler. So the pieces are there. It's going to be really interesting to watch how it all comes together. But really, they played some bad basketball, worse than the level you would expect from that roster.
Chris, I feel like when we're talking about the Bulls, we're talking about the Bears as far as coaching and management go, and I'm sorry for reaching for the low-hanging fruit, but should Bulls fans trust the process?
No, absolutely not. Not with the people in charge of it. I mean, Gar Foreman and John Paxson don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. Fred Hoiberg hasn't proven that he can be a competent NBA head coach and lead this team somewhere else. They got a lot of question marks on that roster, but they have so many more in the front office and running this whole show, so no, the process should absolutely not be trusted. I'd be skeptical about the whole thing.
Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago, we appreciate it as always. Happy Thanksgiving, Chris.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
It's just a tough time for a lot of Chicago sports fans right now, especially if you're a fan of the Bears, and it was a tough loss this past weekend. We never even really got around to talking about the NFL yesterday, but a tough close loss to the Lions, NFC North divisional battle this past weekend, and the picture going around on social media of the entrance tunnel that the Bears run out of at Soldier Field being halfway deflated, and it looked like the inflatable bear was hibernating, which you could just insert your jokes there. And then I know there's a lot of people that are still watching Fred Hoiberg and hoping for the best for him. But if you're a Bulls fan, I don't know how you are even paying attention to the team at this point. I think I would walk away and say, get in touch with me when it's time for the NBA draft.
If you were in Vegas and you could bet on this, would you put any money down on Fred Hoiberg reaching the end of this so-called rebuild?
He's got, what, 2 more years left on the contract after this?
Yes.
It'd be such long odds.
It
has to be weighing on him. It has to be difficult. And I don't know whether he wants to get to the end of that contract or not. But the way that things are shaping up, he's probably not going to get that opportunity. Although, the way that organization is run, and you heard Chris there, may not expect any changes anytime soon. We've got a lot of NFL action coming your way this weekend, beginning Thursday for Thanksgiving. Check out our website, KGYMRadio.com, for the full schedule. While you're there, you can vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question tonight. Joe Morgan's letter to Hall of Fame voters, fair or foul? Find Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to be talking with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Rob just published a great piece at HN about the players and how they're disappointed. If you think you're disappointed in the Iowa football season so far, stop and think about how the players feel. And speaking of feeling, how do you feel? Guys, I'm talking to you right now. You feel like maybe there's something in your life that you could change or that you would like to get back to your old self. And look, the holidays are a tough time because you sit around the dinner table and you stuff yourself with turkey and gravy and you just look in the mirror and you realize, man, kind of let yourself go a little bit. One of the body's natural changes as we age is a drop in testosterone, which is natural. Testosterone is a chemical. It's in all of our bodies. We have it in different levels. Some guys have a lot of it. Some guys don't have a whole lot of it. And some guys that used to have a lot of it don't have a whole lot of it. I was talking to Mark Lillibridge when he was in visiting recently, the former Iowa State player, played in the NFL. Talked to guys in the NFL who are dealing with low testosterone. And one way you can deal with that is to check out and see if you actually have it. Visit lowtusa.com. You can learn more about Mantality, a new local men's health clinic located in North Liberty. It's covered by insurance. You're dealing with actual doctors. They're board certified. This is not some sort of fly-by-night operation. Plus, you're going to check this place out. It is unlike any doctor's office that you've ever visited before. LowTUSA.com is the website to learn more about Mantality. Plus, if you do have low testosterone, they've got a 90% success rate in treating it regardless of your physical condition. LowTUSA.com. 526, we're going to step aside really quick. We come back. Kyle's going to have another big board update for you. Back with more after this.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
We'll see how this goes. Rob is going to be cooking dinner for his kids while we're talking to him on this segment. So it reminds me of talking to the Ohio State guys a couple weeks ago when I said, hey, you can call me at 10 o'clock in the morning, but I'm going to have my son in the background. And you may hear him screaming and yelling. And the guy from the ESPN affiliate in Dayton said, it's okay. Just give us a little flavor. Reminds me of when we talked with Zach Osterman, the Indy star, the dogs barking in the background. Just adds a little color to the program. Speaking of adding things to the program, we do it twice an hour to keep you informed. It's a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
Things have not gone according to plan for the Iowa basketball team in the Cayman Islands. After falling to Louisiana Lafayette yesterday, they lost to South Dakota State earlier today, 80-72. Iowa actually didn't play as poorly as they did yesterday and, in fact, shot 50% from the floor, but they also committed 15 turnovers and allowed the Jackrabbits to go 16 of 19 from the free throw line. The Hawkeyes will play for 7th place against either Buffalo or Alabama-Birmingham tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today and passed along a little bit of injury news. Safety Amani Hooker has missed the past couple of weeks and unfortunately won't be able to play in Iowa's regular season finale against Nebraska this Friday. As for Iowa State, there's a few interesting notes out of Ames. Receiver Alan Lazard accepted an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl in Alabama in late January. Also, running back David Montgomery affirmed what Coach Matt Campbell said yesterday. He's going to be ready to go after an ankle injury last weekend. And lastly, defensive coordinator and safeties coach John Heacock has been named a semifinalist for the Broyles Award, which goes nationally to the nation's best assistant coach. We've got a lot going on after the show today. Beginning right after we get off the air, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and on the North and South Gym FM frequencies beginning at 7:30. We'll have Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Muscatine in our first high school girls basketball action of the year. And back on 1600 beginning at 9 o'clock, we'll have number 13 Notre Dame taking on LSU at the Maui Invitational.
High school basketball season. That's why Scott Unash squeezed in a couple vacation days. He goes right from high school football into basketball. And you can catch all the action all winter long right here on KGYM. Make sure you're checking out the schedule, KGYMradio.com. While you're there, don't forget, vote in the poll question. Plus, you can download the podcast, any of the gym class or this show that you have missed. They're right there on the front page for you. We are at the halfway point. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is going to be joining us next. We will hear from Kirk Ferentz and coaches cuts coming up in this hour as well. More of the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. More on the way after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 14 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi at this hour. Latest college football playoff rankings released in 30 minutes on ESPN TV and the ESPN app. No big changes anticipated for the top four. NFL, Denver will be starting a third different QB this season, going with Paxton Lynch against the Raiders Sunday, reports ESPN's Dan Graziano. Trevor Siemian benched following the October 30th loss. Denver 0-3 in Brock Osweiler's starts. Missouri freshman Michael Porter Jr. will undergo back surgery, likely out the rest of the season. Porter considered a high lottery pick by NBA executives. And in the NBA, Warriors forward Kevin Durant sprained ankle, questionable tomorrow against the Thunder. OKC, despite the offseason acquisitions, just 7-9. It's early, but tomorrow's game could be a moment of truth, says ESPN's Royce Young.
It does feel like that this is kind of that game where the Thunder are going to go one direction or the other. And all their losses that they've had, they've been close games. The Warriors have a knack for blowing people out. So as this Thunder team takes them on, where are they going to fall? This team was built to try to compete with the Warriors.
Yankee slugger Aaron Judge had shoulder surgery, expected to be ready for spring training.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
Are you in the market for a new or used vehicle? I'm Brittany from Toyota of Iowa City, and I'm here with some great news for you. Toyota of Iowa City, voted the area's best auto dealer by Press Citizen readers once again, is starting its Toyota Black Friday event right now. Come browse our huge vehicle inventory and take advantage of factory specials such as 0% financing for 60 months on all new 2018 RAV4s and 2.9% financing on all certified pre-owned RAV4s. And come in to see the great lease rates on all new 2018 Camrys. You really need to stop in and see for yourself. But don't wait. These deals end on December 4th. Check us out today at toyotaiowacity.com for more specials and details, or better yet, just stop in and tell them Brittany sent you.
0% financing for 60 months requires qualifying credit and is $1,667 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Greeny, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. Kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Our unlimited plan with 10 gigabytes at high speed, then 2G, is just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Cancellation fee may apply, subject to eligibility. Not available in Alaska, Missouri, and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit tocowarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You've been driving your car for a few years now. It's old enough to make you a little nervous, but you'd like to hold off buying a new one as long as possible. Has your manufacturer's warranty expired? Is it about to? What if you lost your transmission today? Would it wipe out your savings or max out your credit card? Truth is, you may gamble yourself deeper into debt. Protect yourself from big, unexpected car repair bills with an affordable vehicle protection plan from Toco Warranty. It's easy and affordable. You pick the coverage, you even choose your own repair shop. When it happens, and it will, your plan pays your mechanic directly so you don't have to. Roadside service, towing, and rental car benefits are included, all for a fraction of what you'd pay out of pocket. Drive carefree with a simple phone call. 800-276-1431. That's 800-276-1431. 800-276-1431.
535, the halfway point of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. All three KGYM frequencies coming your way tonight till 7 o'clock. 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Speaking of Iowa City, no KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire this week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. But that shouldn't stop you from checking out your tires and seeing if you may need a new set of four tires. Why don't you check out LinderTire.com and maybe, just maybe, you'll find some valuable savings there. They've got a couple online coupons, especially for winter tires to help get you ready for those icy roads this winter. Woodja is on the way in hour number three. Plenty more of the show. Your texts and phone calls continue at 319-366-1600. Let's get back to talking Hawkeyes, though, football and basketball. And I apologize for doing this to you, Iowa fans, who may not necessarily be in the best of moods when it comes to the football and basketball teams right now. But Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining us on the program. And how's dinner preparation going, Rob? We've talked about you getting dinner ready for the kids. What are we eating tonight?
It's coming along. I'm cutting onions right now, so if I start crying, it's because of that and not recent developments in Hawkeye land. Man, I'm cooking chili dogs and mac and cheese. My kids like onions, which is, I think, out of the ordinary for a lot of kids, but they like the onions on the chili dogs.
Yeah, when my dad made dinner for me when I was a kid, it usually involved a can opener, and that was about it. So you're going above and above and beyond there. We didn't really learn a whole lot from Kirk Ferentz today, but you had a really great piece at HawkeyeNation.com. I've tried to direct people there on Twitter, but the question was, if you think you're disappointed in how the season's gone, think of the players. What did they have to say today about the season so far?
Yeah, thank you for promoting that. I appreciate it. And, yeah, it's kind of, I didn't have, I mean, we've gotten to this point in the season where they don't really know what to say, and it's hard for us to figure out what to ask in terms of what's going on in a very confusing season. So I just kind of ask guys how they felt about the season and what this has been like for them. And as you would probably guess or imagine, it's really hard for them. These guys start working as soon as the season ends in January with Coach Chris Doyle, the strength and conditioning coach, and his staff, and they busted pretty hard through the off season and then into spring ball and then
summer workouts, and it's pretty much a nonstop endeavor these days. They never stop. Alex can speak to this with his brother playing, college football. It's a year round thing, and you know, you get 12 chances to go out there and, you know, put that hard work on display and try to win football games. And it's just been a really difficult season for them. Most of the guys that I spoke with felt like they left games on the table. They missed opportunities, and you don't get those back. They have to live with those for the rest of their lives, and that's tough. And I guess we get a better view into that being around these guys more than fans and other people, but you kind of hit me today because I watched all these guys kind of grow up through the program, and they're disappointed. And it's hopefully they can rebound this week and get a regular season win and maybe turn things around in the bowl game and give themselves something to feel good about.
Rob, this is interesting because we have this discussion all the time about expectations and fan expectations and what we should expect this program to do year in and year out. And you're basically saying that, and what you've heard from the players, they're not accepting what we've seen the past couple of weeks or what we've seen at times throughout the season.
Not at all, Alex. And James Daniels said today, he goes, "I'm pretty sure we're more disappointed than any of the fans are. We expect to play at a high level, and when you don't play at that high level, you're disappointed. It's very frustrating." And, you know, plenty of these guys that were on this team were in, 2 years ago, were 11-0 at this point, heading over to Lincoln with the Western Division title in hand and, a spot secured in the Big Ten championship game. And, now they've kind of experienced those highs and even highs this year, with the Ohio State game and the knowledge that they can play at that level when things are going right and that they haven't done it enough this year, is frustrating. It's hard for them to live with. And, as Parker Hesse said today, this is their livelihood right now. I know they're college students. They spend a lot of time on football, and when you fail, it hurts.
And they're spending a lot of time getting ready for Nebraska on a very short week. What type of game are you expecting Friday in Lincoln with Nebraska limping to the finish line? Everybody knows the storyline with Mike Riley. And then you got the Hawkeyes who are sort of hobbling into this on a two-game losing streak. What type of football game are we going to sit through Friday afternoon?
That's a great question, Todd. And I was working on my preview this morning that I'll publish tomorrow and starting to go through, X's and O's and matchups and things like that. And that stuff's all good, well and good. But I think in this game, it almost feels like, a bowl game where not a playoff bowl game where you expect teams to, those teams to show up in the college football playoff, but a bowl game is this team motivated? Which team is going to be motivated and show up and play their hardest and try to win the game? Because after the game on Saturday, you were in the post game. A lot of those players said they didn't feel like they were, I don't know if motivated is the right word. There wasn't as much energy for them as there was for Purdue. And that's troubling to be able to get up again after losing like that, on the road when, the championship is off the table, a really nice bowl game is off the table, you're trying to improve your bowl standing from, the Pinstripe to the Music City or something like that. It's where does that motivation come from other than, hey, as I talked about earlier, these guys want to finish the season on a high note, but that's easier said than done when you've fallen short of your goals. So, and then Nebraska's just been a mess. They've given up 47 points a game in the five losses they've had in the Big Ten. They can't really stop anybody, and Iowa's offense can't score anybody, so I guess something's got to give.
That feeling that you talked about, and by the way, we're chatting with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com on Saturday in the post game. Some of that goes back on the coaches, but Kirk Ferentz mentioned a couple times today they're at their best when their seniors and their veteran players are doing a good job of leading the program. Do you get the sense that outside of Josie Jewell and maybe a few other guys that there's a little bit of a leadership void or Kirk was disappointed in some of the veteran players this year?
Yeah, I caught that too today and was thinking about that. And I don't know, maybe we're reading too much into it. Maybe that was just, but for him to, he says that a lot. We've heard that a lot in the last 19 years. And for him to actually put that out there today led me to believe, as it did you, that there might be something to that. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like a pretty good group of leaders when you think about the senior linebackers and Nathan Budgeta, Wadley, James Butler seems like a leader, Sean Welch, you know, but they lost two key senior leaders in Becker and Boone Myers. Maybe that's hurt a little bit. But yeah, I think it's natural to look at a team and say, okay, what's going wrong? And maybe leadership from the players, at least from a coach's standpoint, is something that they feel like hasn't been there enough this year.
Are you surprised to see the pretty, I'll use the word, inexcusable special teams so far this season in week 11? The punting game has been really bad, and the punt return game has not been good, and we don't know much about the kicking game, but that seems to be a staple of this program, and it has been a huge void this year.
Yeah, I agree, Alex. The kick coverage has been good. I think that's been good. Kickoffs and kick coverage has been pretty good. Kick returns have been, you know, acceptable. When they've happened, they haven't kicked off a whole lot in recent weeks. But yeah, I think with any aspect like this in a developmental program, even when you go in, you know, when you go into the season and say, okay, these are where the hot spots are, whether it be, okay, we're replacing Ron Paluzzi at punter, we're, you know, Desmond King's going to punt returner. So those are areas that we got to, you know, shore up and make sure that, you know, those guys are developing. And I think you can say the same thing about wide receiver. That was a concern for us coming into this season, and it really hasn't developed this year. Too many drop passes, inconsistency. So that's part of the equation. When things don't go right at Iowa, a developmental program, it's when some of those positions that need to develop over a season don't do it fast enough. I think we've seen that this year.
Iowa and Nebraska kicking off at 3:00 on Friday. We'll break it down with everybody beginning at 1:00 on our FM frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5. From football to basketball, not necessarily in the greatest of shape right now, but what have you thought of the Hawkeyes in their two games, their first two games in the Cayman Islands?
I watched all the game yesterday and watched the half today before we had to go over the football press conference. It tell two different things, or two different weaknesses, I think. Yesterday, the offense was just missing in that first half. They scored 17 points against Louisiana and just couldn't recover from that 20-point halftime deficit. They just did not look connected at all. Quick shots, poor shots, guys taking shots that aren't in their game. Just a little bit quick shooting and hero stuff. And then today, you know, Fran said it, from this post game that was sent to us from the islands that they were focused on, you know, slowing down South Dakota State's 3-point shooting, and the Jackrabbits ended up hitting 10 of 20 today, which was a huge part of the. It's a young team that's still trying to figure it out. I think it's maybe shocked some people who had really high expectations for this team coming into the season, but it is a young team and. Just logic tells you there's going to be some developmental things with the team, and that's kind of where they're at right now. They're playing teams that are better, and both of the teams they've played so far in this tournament are, you know, senior and junior laden, and Iowa's not, and they were exposed.
How big of a loss does the transfer of Christian Williams look like right now, not only as a backup point guard, but as a perimeter defender?
I think it's big, Alex. I think he was a piece of the puzzle this year. From what you, what you touched on there, as a perimeter defender, which they don't have enough of, and part of the issue is they're trying to learn how to play zone defense on the fly, because it's one of the items or one of the areas that's installed into the playbook later in the preseason and heading into the season, and they haven't looked good in the zone defense, and hopefully you were hoping that Christian Williams could advance his offensive game a little bit this year and contribute on that end as well. So they are light in the backcourt. Obviously Connor McCaffrey with mono hasn't helped, and I really think the absence of Nicholas Bear is pretty significant. I mean, he's an energy guy. And it's looked like the last 2 days the team has lacked energy.
Their RPI right now after today's loss is 296. When is the right time to start worrying about RPI with the Hawkeyes?
Worrying, I would wait a little bit. I think people are safe to be concerned right now because you now lost two games to two teams that you should have beaten and beat three teams that, you know, you definitely should have beaten in the first three games before they went to the Islands. And I think you're limited in what you're going to be able to do in the non-conference schedule. You just really much, pretty much erase your margin for error. Virginia Tech on the road is going to be a really tough game. I think Iowa State, maybe a few weeks ago, we were thinking that would be as tough of a game. They seem to have figured things out a little bit. That will be a tougher game. But you put pressure on yourself to have to win games in a road environment. And then the game they play tomorrow against, I don't know, is that game still going on with, who is it, Buffalo and
UAB.
UAB, they play the winner of that tomorrow. That's certainly not going to help them. So, yeah, they're going to have, first of all, they're going to have work to do. And secondly, even if they make up that work, you wonder what the ceiling is for a seed at this point, even if they do well, just because it's going to be hard to get that RPI up. And you're limited with the games that you're playing in the Big Ten when you only have Michigan State once. And some of the other higher level teams in the Big Ten, you only play once. There's only going to be so many opportunities to boost that thing.
Yeah, it seems crazy. We were talking about how favorable the Big Ten schedule was. That may actually come back to bite them. And, oh, by the way, speaking of Big Ten play, it's around the corner in about 2.5 weeks due to the schedule this year. They got to play Indiana and Penn State before they play Iowa State. Rob, we will talk to you again soon, and I will see you on Friday for our trip to Lincoln.
Yeah, you guys have a great Thanksgiving, and yeah, we'll be hitting the road on Friday, and we'll see what happens. You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolate for Hawkeye football season.
All right, and I hope the kids enjoy their dinner tonight. Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation.
They will. See ya.
Great stuff, as always. You can read his stuff at HawkeyeNation.com. We got to do coaches' cuts here from Kirk Ferentz earlier today. Coaches' cuts brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. You can give them a call. They'll give you a free consultation, 247-7223. Here's Kirk Ferentz earlier today in Iowa City.
So before I talk about this week's game, just go backwards here for a few minutes. And just first thing, you know, anytime we lose a football game, disappointing loss, you know, the point I always make to the team is it's shared ownership. You know, we all have ownership, players, coaches, everybody alike. So, you know, that's really the way it goes. And a couple of things we've known since summer and really, you know, forever. For us to be successful, our veterans have to play their best football. And certainly, you know, the newcomers have to step up and do their absolute best and learn as we go along. And as coaches, we have to put our players in a good position to win. That's really how the whole formula works. So, you know, that's looking backwards. And now you look forward, we have two ball games left. And that's where we're at right now as a football team. So, obviously, what we have to do is get our veterans to lead us, get our younger guys to continue to improve, and then we've got to give them a plan that's give them a chance to go out and have success on the field. So, the last point I'll make just on that is, you know, November, talk about November football forever. It's, I think, a very important month in college football. And, you know, our goal right now is to finish the month the way we started, and that's on a positive note. So, that's really where we're at.
Coach, the quarterback position is a heavily scrutinized position. What has impressed you about Nate this year, not only his development, but the way maybe he's battled some ups and downs?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a very challenging position to play. Certainly in our offense it is and has been. And you hit it right on the head. I think probably the things I've been most impressed with is just his response to when things aren't going well. And you go right back to the first ball game where you get a little turbulence and came back and made a beautiful throw, and he's really pretty much done that throughout the season. So, you know, he's a high character, quality guy, and I can say the same about, Tower right behind him. Both of them are just tremendous young people, work extremely hard. They're both, I think, very, very talented. And, you know, each step along the way, it's just like our football team, and he's gained a really valuable experience, and, you know, I think he's done a lot of really good things thus far.
You've had really good punters in the past. They've given your defense, you know, an extra first down to work with. Where do things stand now with punter? Is Ryan Gersonde going to punt? Is he hurt, or is there a reason why he's not playing?
Well, you know, both guys have had their ups and downs since, you know, you've been following the team just like we have. So we haven't had the kind of consistency in that department that you would like to have. You know, we have pretty much had that with Galuzzi, you know, last year. But, you know, I was reminded watching the Wisconsin game from a year ago just how inconsistent he was in that ball game. So that's part of the specialist life, unfortunately. And, you know, so we're just going to try to work through it. But right now, you know, neither guy has taken charge of it. So we're just going to kind of go back and forth here and just see what takes place.
When you go up against, like, 8 or 9, maybe even 10 guys in that proverbial box, like, if there's running play called, I mean fancy. Just run right into a brick wall, basically. Is there something different that can be done from your quarterback, the line of scrimmage, or is it just sort of?
Well, yeah, every situation is a little different. There are some situations where we have run pass flexibility, and then there are others where we're going to run the play regardless. You know, it just depends on the situation. So, you know, every play is a little bit different, and hopefully, you know, we're getting into good run plays, trying to avoid dead plays. We've always tried to do that. Run or pass, you know, try to get out of a dead play. Sometimes it has to do with protections or the look that you're getting, the overloading. But there are some situations where you just, you know, you run it and go with it.
Are these last two losses maybe magnified even more because of the performance against Ohio State, where all of a sudden the expectations are way up here and then the last 2 weeks haven't gone?
Yeah, you know, I think realistically, I doubt anybody saw that, envisioned that kind of score. Now, winning, you know, we envisioned winning, but you know, the plan there is get it in the fourth quarter and find a way to win when you're that far down the you know, the underdog column. But so the way it worked out, and believe me, nobody's complaining about that. But it was a sip, not a season. You know, it's one game, and you got to turn around and do it again next week. And a challenge, I think, in football sometimes can be, if this is what you're getting at, how do you handle some success? And not only some success, but that was over the top. Yeah, I mean, really nobody saw that one coming. I don't think a man in the country saw it coming. Yeah, and they went through the same thing the week before. That probably affected them a little bit against us, quite frankly. I don't know that. I'm not coaching their team. But, you know, sometimes those challenges are as tough as the other ones, you know. And, you know, but that's all part of a whole season. That's why it's so hard to predict what's going to happen during the course of the season, as much as we all like to. It's really hard to predict, you know, how things are going to affect the football team.
That's Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. Again, give them a call for all of your IT needs, 247-7223. Quick break, back with more, and a big board update after this.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will, because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Back at it, 5:56. Here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Things haven't exactly gone according to plan for the Iowa basketball team in the Cayman Islands. After falling to Louisiana Lafayette yesterday, they lost to South Dakota State earlier today, 80-72. Iowa actually didn't play as poorly as it did yesterday and, in fact, shot 50% from the floor, but they committed 15 turnovers and allowed the Jackrabbits to go 16 of 19 from the free throw line. The Hawkeyes will play for 7th place against either Buffalo or Alabama Birmingham tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today and passed along a little bit of injury news. Safety Amani Hooker has missed the last couple of weeks and unfortunately won't be able to play in Iowa's regular season finale against Nebraska this Friday. As for Iowa State, few interesting notes out of Ames. Receiver Alan Lazard accepted an invitation to play in the Senior Bowl in Alabama in late January. Also, running back David Montgomery affirmed what Coach Matt Campbell said yesterday, that he's going to be ready to go after an ankle injury last weekend. And lastly, defensive coordinator and safeties coach John Heacock has been named a semifinalist for the Broyles Award, which goes annually to the nation's best assistant coach. Just about an hour ago, Iowa State's upcoming opponent, Kansas State, lost their quarterback, Jesse Ertz. He's out for the year. We've got a lot going on after the show today. Beginning right after we get off the air, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And on the North and South Gym FM frequencies, beginning at 7:30, we'll have Cedar Rapids Prairie hosting Muscatine in our first high school girls basketball action of the year. And back on 1600, beginning at 9 o'clock, we'll have number 13 Notre Dame taking on LSU at the Maui Invitational.
It is Tuesday, not Thursday, but because of Thanksgiving, it means a short work week, and we're going to surprise you. If you haven't been listening, we've got Woodja on the horizon. Hour number three is going to kick off with that next. 1600, 106.3, 107.5 FM. Back with more after this.